the last weeks we've been talking about sharing our faith with other people and the call that we have as believers in Christ to do this. And several times in those last 2 weeks, I have said that it's important for us, it's good for us, it's a call to us through our actions and our words to share our faith when those opportunities arise. And if you're anything like me, I think oftentimes I am able to say that I can do it through my actions easier than my words, right? Like it's okay, it's easy to be able to, in a sense, just be a good person. Like that's what we're talking about. We're talking about following the pattern of Jesus' life. So we're talking about being respectful and loving others and these, and that's, in a sense, that's almost easier to do than to be ready to sit down and have discussion with somebody about Scripture and its importance and significance in our lives. But I think that there are times that we'll find in life where that's exactly where we end up, is we end up in a conversation with somebody. And sometimes those conversations aren't horribly difficult. Sometimes those conversations just include things like the way that you've seen God working in your life. So you're sharing a story about how you've seen God work in your life. Maybe sometimes those stories include things like your testimony, right? And maybe you've put a little bit of thought into sharing your testimony about how you came to know Jesus. And so you share that with somebody. And that's not too threatening. But I think that there's also times in life where you're going to run into, if we're looking for the opportunities, times where we need to use Scripture to share God's love for other people and for ourselves as well. And that can be a little bit more threatening. At least for me, that's a little bit more threatening. Because I wonder, am I going to miss bits and pieces of it? Am I going to misrepresent something? Am I not going to say the right words or share the right passages? So as I was thinking this week and processing about today a little bit, I kind of shifted gears as to where I was originally going. And I decided, you know what, we're just going to do something really kind of simple, but so important. Because I'm certain that I'm not the only one that is a little bit hesitant in regards to maybe perhaps sharing my faith with somebody through Scripture. I'm going to guess that there are some others in the room that would fall into that same category. In fact, in the front of my Bible, and this has been this way for many, many, many years, I have a whole bunch of verses written in there because I know that that if I'm in those kind of situations, that I'm going to need to fall back on something. So this morning, as we're talking about sharing our faith, we're really going to talk some practical pieces of sharing our faith through Scripture with other people. Next week, we're going to look at some examples, or actually not next week, in 2 weeks, we're going to look at some examples of people in Scripture and how they shared their faith. And I think it'll be kind of interesting for us to see different techniques that some people use. We're going to call them techniques. I guess they probably weren't techniques, but it's just different personalities and how they do that. And to see maybe if you relate to one or the other of those folks as well. Last week, we talked about the fact that God uses us when we allow him to, when we make ourselves available to him. He uses us to help bring other people further along in their spiritual journeys. So we talked about that line that started at -5, went -4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and that's the point of conversion, the point where somebody asks Christ into their life, and then the line continues as we grow in our faith and goes to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? And I said that sometimes you might be the person that is helping bring somebody from -5 to -4. They're not asking to pray a prayer to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they're just hearing your story, and it's intriguing them a little bit about this whole faith thing. Or maybe you're the person that's way out here, and you're helping minister to somebody that's been in the faith for 30 or 40 years, but they're going through something difficult, and you're helping reaffirm some of their faith, and you're helping somebody move from like -4 to -5. But there are times, too, in our lives where you might be the person that God's calling into somebody else's life to help move somebody from negative one to zero. Right? To help somebody actually sit down and pray a prayer to ask Christ to be the center of their lives. There's this method that's out there, and when I say the word Roman road, right, or Romans road, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Others have no clue what I'm talking about. We're going to walk through that this morning. So that's simply what we're going to do. So for some of you, this is, you can see this morning's time together as a refresher course for you, right? Because if you haven't used it in the last year, you've probably forgotten parts of it, if we're being honest. So this is your refresher course for the year. For others, this is a new learning experience, perhaps. If it's a new learning experience or if it's a refresher's course, I encourage you, get your Bibles out and write it in the front of your Bible as we go through this. I'm going to give you references. I'm going to give you some thoughts along with those references. And this is all just, in a sense, to give us a really practical way of sharing our faith when it comes to Scripture and using Scripture as a point of reference for doing that. So let's open our time together in prayer, and then we're just going to walk through the book of Romans. Not all the book of Romans. We're going to walk through some passages in the book of Romans. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day and this time together. We thank you for your word. In these last weeks, we have been talking about the importance, the significance of sharing your word with others. Sharing the hope of Jesus Christ with the people that we do life with. So, Father God, this morning, as we look at just a single practical way of doing this, may you speak into our hearts and our minds. Lord God, last couple weeks, some people have been thinking of an individual, it's a part of their life that doesn't know you. And maybe this will be how somebody shares their faith with that individual now. So Lord God, I just pray that as we've spent this time over these last weeks and we spend more time today talking about sharing our faith, that won't be just something that we talk about for 30 minutes on a Sunday morning, but that it'll be something that we actually try to incorporate into our lives, that we see the importance and significance of it, that we remember that first of all, we are commanded to do this. We're instructed right through the Great Commission to do this. And also, Lord, that we'll remember that eternity of other people is in the balance of whether they know you or not. And you might be choosing us to be the people to change their eternal destination. So, Lord God, help us take this time seriously and help us to be challenged to use it and implement it into our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, so as we're starting in the Romans road, we start really early in the book of Romans chapter 3. So if you're using one of the church Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open it up. I want you to get there, page 797. If you're using your own Bible, I encourage you to get there as well. These references are going to be up on the screen, so if you're taking notes, if you're writing stuff in the front of your Bibles, if you're jotting it down in your notes on your phone, however you want to do that, I would encourage you, unless you've got this all memorized real well and it's just secondhand for you, let's prepare ourselves for the opportunities that God might give to us. We prepare ourselves for all kinds of stuff. This is like big out there. So first of all, we're going to look at Romans chapter 3, verse 10, and Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And this is two verses that really, I think, focus us on the current reality of our lives before we know Jesus Christ. So in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "It is written, there is none righteous, not even one." And then you jump down to verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This is the beginning, I'm going to suggest, of the Romans road. Now, I also am aware, let me just say this, I'm also aware that when you talk about the Romans road and you go online and Google it, you'll come up with like probably 5 or 10 different explanations of it, and some will include other verses and different verses and all kind of stuff. So this is the one that I use and I'm familiar with. So that's all I'm going to say on that. But we don't tend to use in our culture words like religious and sin in our everyday conversations. We just don't. So to make sure that we're kind of all on the same page, religious, just for a very simple definition, means being right with God, okay? And sin means falling short of perfection. A lot of people don't think of themselves as sinners. We don't like to think of ourselves as sinners, right? I don't like to think of myself as a sinner. People tend to think of a sinner as somebody who is morally depraved, right? They're dangerous, they're violent, they're morally disgusting individuals. We like to think that we are not that bad. But nobody in their right mind thinks that they're perfect. And if you're not perfect in every action, in every word, in every thought, then Scripture, and in this case, Paul, describes us as a sinner. Because we've fallen short. Jesus said, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." But is perfection really a realistic thing for us on this side of eternity? When I was back in high school, as is the case today, during your years in high school, you begin thinking about what your future might hold for you, the things that you might want to do with your life, right? And one of those things that was on my radar for several years, and I think I've shared this with you guys before, was I was always interested in becoming a police officer. So my neighbor was a police officer, and I thought, well, one of the ways of kind of seeing a little bit more into what it all entails is to do a ride along with him. So I set up a ride along with him and went for a couple different days with him and another person on the police force, and really enjoyed kind of getting to see firsthand what it all entailed. One day when it was kind of slow, my neighbor, who also did the training for their SWAT team in Saskatoon, said, "Hey, let's go to the target range and just shoot some targets for a little while, fill in some time." So we did that. And I'd never done that before in my life. So he asked me, he said, "How many, you know, what have you done before?" And absolutely nothing. This is all brand new to me. So he went over stuff with me, and he said, "Here's the deal." He said, "You're going to shoot this first target." And he said, "The very first target is going to be one you want to take home because it's going to be the best one that you have. Because after that," he said, "you're going to start like resisting the kickback and that kind of stuff." And he said, "Not being a person that normally shoots firearms, you're not going to do well with that." So, and he was right. My first target was the one I wanted to take home. Most of the shots were actually on the piece of paper, the target. At least we'll say they were. But the truth is that a lot of them were all over the place. It was far from being perfect, right? He took out his revolver and he did the same thing and shot, and a lot of his were right like in that bullseye, like the black, you know, dot in the middle kind of thing, with the odd stray one just outside of it or whatever the case is. But again, if you don't hit the perfect bullseye every time, it's flawed, right? It's not perfect. Like, really, in reality, to be perfect, there should have been one hole right in the dead center after he had shot, like, 20 shots, and every bullet should have went through that exact same hole in the dead center. But it's flawed, and this guy is a guy that did, like, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of this training and trained others to do this. You either hit every shot perfectly, or it's flawed. According to Scripture, everyone, without exception, fall short of the mark. We may aim really hard for the bullseye with our lives, right? We may say, "This is the bullseye. Living according to God's word is my bullseye." And we really aim hard at it. And we practice hard and hard and hard at doing it. And we implement things in our lives to help us be able to stay on target. But every now and then, one of the shots goes just outside the bullseye. And we miss it. Today, from what I saw when Sebastian was up here, many of you are watching the game, you're cheering for the Eagles, right? These are trained professionals that are going to go out and play football today. And I am certain that you're probably going to see some pretty good football today. I would hope so. I'm also certain that there's going to be flaws in the game that you watch today, right? Every time the Eagles touch the ball, they're not going to end up getting a touchdown. And every time the Chiefs touch the ball, the Eagles aren't going to stop them. That's just not the way it's going to be. It's going to be a flawed game. So the Eagles are going to give it their best, but it's going to be flawed. You can boo me at this point in the sermon if you want to. That's fine. I know there's a lot of Eagles fans out there, but it's going to be flawed. It's going to be flawed for the Chiefs too. There is no one that's perfect. Regardless of the effort and hours that they have practiced for today, every one of them's flawed. And guess what? Living our lives for Christ, regardless of how hard we try, we are flawed in our humanity. Whereas Paul says that we are sinners. So those first two verses create that reality for us. And then Romans goes on in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, if you're looking, and it talks about the consequences of that reality, right? And it says, the wages of sin is death. The deadliest killer in the world is not heart disease or cancer or war. It's sin. It's terminal for all of us. There's no exceptions. So next in the book of Romans, we look at what we're going to call God's solution. So we got God's solution starting in the second half of verse 23 of chapter 6 that we just read. And it's good news that it didn't stop at the very first part, right? The wages of sin is death, period. That's it. We move on to the next chapter. That would be bad news for us all. But it goes on. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then Romans chapter 5, verse 8 explains, God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here's a really good feel-good question for us this morning, right? What can kill every one of us? That's a good feel-good question, right? What can kill every one of us? There's a whole bunch of things that can kill us if we're being honest, right? Like we could walk out of here and get into a horrific car accident. We could drive down the road, get hit by a train that comes across the tracks. We could be involved in a house fire or war or earthquakes or avalanches or diseases. Like there are all kinds of things that are out of our control that can kill us. When we are put into certain situations, there is nothing in our ability that we can do to escape death. The same is true regarding our spiritual lives. We can't save ourselves. As desperately as we want to. If I drive out of the parking lot and get hit by a Mack truck at the intersection, as desperately as I sit in my car and want to live, that may not be the reality. And that's why Jesus came to save us, because we can't save ourselves. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he built the bridge that we can that can get us there. And the bridge is available for anyone and everyone. But it does no good unless we choose to walk across it. Romans goes on to talk about how we respond to the solution that's offered to us, how we respond to God's solution. Next, what we're going to see is how we need to respond, so our response. Jesus offers salvation as a free gift, but it does no good unless we choose to accept the gift. The response is required from us. So as we continue in the Romans Road idea, the first part of number 3, we're going to talk about confession, right? In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Confession turns thought into action. Confession lets others know what's happening inside of us, inside of our minds, inside of our hearts. Confession is like this public commitment that we make in our lives. I can guarantee you that none of you have ever been to a wedding where the minister said, will you take this woman to be lawfully wedded to this, will you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? And the groom like responds and says, well, actually, that's really none of your business, so it's kind of a private thing between her and I. That wouldn't happen, right? No vows, no wedding. Confession is to our salvation what vows are to our wedding. When you take Christ as Savior, you can't keep that a secret. We declare that. One of the things that we do to declare that oftentimes is we do baptism, right? We do believer's baptism here. And that is an exact instruction from Scripture, that when we give our lives to Christ, one of the things we should do is declare that through believer's baptism. With your heart you believe, with your mouth you confess. Another part of our response is that we are to live a new life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then he goes on in verse 2 and says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Our life of faith involves renewal of our minds. We need to do this daily. Like we need to, on a regular basis, connect with God and remain fresh and anew in him, in his word, in his desire for our lives. We need to live differently as a result of our confession of Jesus Christ. It's a new life that we live. Because of God's goodness. We need to live our lives in a way that's honoring and pleasing and glorifying to God in everything that we say and everything that we do. And then I think our final stop on this Romans road for today is the promise of God when we accept his offer of salvation. And this we find in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation left for you once you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. None of us follow Jesus perfectly. Even after he saves us. But you don't need to wonder if you really belong to God, because that's not up to you. We don't put our trust in ourselves. We place our trust in him. We depend on him. And guess what? He's for us. Right? Romans 8, if you go down to near the end, or it might even be the very last verse, verse 31. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, will he not also be with him freely? Will he not also with him freely give us all things? He's for us, folks. No longer have to wonder if God is on my side, your side. He is always on our side, next to you. Next time you feel anxious, hopeless, defeated, remember that God is on your side. God is for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8 is, it's really an amazing chapter of Scripture. It's amazing because it is more the feel-good, right? I said I had the feel-good question earlier. It wasn't quite feel-good when I said, how can we all die? But this is kind of a feel-good chapter, in all seriousness. It's full of encouragement. And it's well worth reading over and over and over again. I would encourage you, if you haven't read through Romans chapter 8, go home today and it's not a long chapter. It's like less than a page. Go home today and just spend 5 minutes and read through Romans chapter 8 and just let it soak in. And do that a few times this week. It's full of promises for you, encouragement for you. So I don't know, I know for some of you, because you've shared this with me, that over the course of the last couple weeks, God's been placing somebody in your mind. Somebody that just maybe he's going to use you to share Christ with. I encourage you to do it. Let's quit talking about it. Let's do it. Commit to doing it. That's the first step. Just saying, you know what? I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do it. And then start to pray. And pray for God to give you the opportunities to share your faith with that person or others that God might bring into your life. And again, as I said at the beginning, maybe he'll do that in a whole bunch of different ways. By all means, it might be through how you respond to things and your actions and all that kind of stuff. It might be by you sharing some of your God moments that you've experienced in life or your testimony as a whole. It might be by having a conversation about God's word and his plan for salvation, like we just talked about. Last week, we looked at several reasons why we should be motivated to do this. Of course, I already said today, right? It's because we were commanded to, and because people's eternities depend on it. This isn't something we should be taking lightly. My hope is, my encouragement is that you'll take home with you the notes that you made from today. And that you'll use them to plan your own way of presenting the gospel, however that might be. That you'll actually take a little bit of time and put together a little bit of a plan, just assuming that God's going to give you an opportunity at some point. And you'll know that you've prepared at least somewhat for that moment. You'll be more equipped if you spend just a few moments preparing than you were yesterday. You certainly don't need to say everything I said this morning. But just take a piece of paper and write the passages down. Jot them down in your phones, write them in the front of your Bibles. And pray for the opportunity to share them. And I think when you pray for that opportunity and you've done some work in preparing for it, that God will open doors. Because more than anything, God wants this world to hear about Jesus Christ. Will you be a part of sharing that message of hope? Let's pray. Lord God, for so many of us, we have received you as Christ. We have asked you to be the center of our lives. We've begun this journey of faith with you. And we are grateful for that. We are thankful for that. We are thankful for the difference that makes in our lives. Help us, Lord God, to be a people that care about the spiritual souls of others. That care so deeply about the spiritual souls of others that the thought of somebody not knowing Christ, or at least not hearing about Christ, like, pains us and burdens us and breaks our hearts. Help it to be that deep. Because this matters more than anything in life. So, Father God, I just pray that you will give us, as a community of believers, as individuals, that you'll give us the boldness to step out, to be a people that are willing to be used by you to share the hope of Jesus Christ with a world that so desperately needs it. Pray this in your name. Amen.